Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Does life ever overwhelm you and seem to demand more than you can give? Well, friend, God wants to come alongside of you, and from within you, His Holy Spirit, He wants to give you power for life. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Chappell, we examine power for life. Stay with us. One experience that's universal to human life is that life can become overwhelming. We can convince ourselves that we have everything under control, but in our conscience we know it's fragile. We know that suffering or hardship can change our situation. And that's where God's Holy Spirit comes in. When we have a relationship with Him, He offers us a power for living and for life that suffering and hardship cannot take away. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for many resources that will help you in your spiritual growth. But today, we're studying Power for Life. Today's text is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, God's power to enable. Here's Paul Chappell.
And so she's not a younger lady. I wouldn't try to guess her age, but I'm going to say 60 to 70. She's been a member for a while. And she said to me, she said, Pastor Chappell, she said, I don't know how, in the nursery, folding bulletins, doing something, but I would like to serve the Lord in my church. And within 24 hours, she received a call and we're helping her find a place of ministry. Why? Because she was sensing in her heart, she wanted to do something to edify the work of God and to be a part of advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see, you could liken this to a musician with his instrument. And the fact is that we are living instruments crafted by a God who is the divine instrument maker. And He wants our lives to be used of Him to bring honor and glory to Him. And He has given to us this privilege in the church. Now, we can edify this body in two different ways. And let me share those with you very quickly. First, through serving the Lord. God wants every one of us to use our gifts in service. Notice in verse 10, please, once again. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. All right, look at that phrase. Even so minister the same one to another. Let's say that together. Ready to begin. Even so minister the same. So God says, I'm going to give you a desire and ability spiritually. It is God that worketh in you both to give you the will and to do the work. I'm going to give you an ability to minister, to organize, to help, to teach. And now I want you to take that gift that I've given you, and I want you to go out, and I want you to serve others with that personally. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, church, let me have your attention. How many of you recognize that you are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, the local body at Lancaster Baptist Church, all right? And no one here is unimportant, and everyone here has a part, and the Lord adds to the church such as should be added. And God puts you here into this place so that together we might achieve more for His honor and glory. And verse 5 of Romans 12 says, we being many are one, and every one members one of another. Now verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he begins to say those gifts. Some are the gifts of ministering and teaching and encouraging and giving and ruling. He says, I want you to use your gifts in the work of the ministry to serve in and through this body called the local church. Hebrews 6:10, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And in this ministry, some will minister with speaking gifts, some with serving gifts, but it's just a wonderful thing to see people serving the Lord. I think about our men and boys camp out just this past few days. And I saw men up at the camp out with the gift of helps. And boy, they were moving chairs and firewood and helping out. I saw men with the gift of exhortation. And they were going to other men and saying, I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And they were encouraging. There were men with the gift of teaching who were teaching the Word of God. There were men with the gifts of administration, organizing. Listen, it was everyone doing their part, and God bless. But sometimes I wonder, what if every born-again Christian in America figured out what their gifts were and got plugged in serving God? What a different nation this might be. And what if every member of every church, including this one, would say, hey, the Christian life is not a spectator sport. God didn't save me so I could sit on my blessed assurance, but God saved me and God gave me a spiritual ability to serve Him, and I want to figure out what that is, and I want to get involved serving my Lord. What a great church this is, but what a greater church this could become if everyone said, I don't know what God gave me, but I want to figure it out, and I want to use it for His glory, you see. I want to serve the Lord in my church. I think about our teen camp tomorrow. You know, it takes a lot of people exercising their gifts to take teenagers to camp. It also takes a lot of drugs and, no, not that. It takes a lot of sedatives. But you know, to take 500 teenagers to camp, think about that. Someone's got to put oil in the bus, and someone's got to drive the bus, and someone's got to pack the bus. It takes a lot of servants, doesn't it? Someone's got to organize the program and make sure that the time schedule is kept. And there's got to be some mercy showers to pray with the young lady who's crying at the altar. There's got to be someone exhorting the teenager whose dad just left home and he's not sure he wants to go on anymore. There's got to be someone teaching the Word of God to build up the teenagers to abstain from physical lust and to live for God. I'm just saying, it's going to take a small army of spiritual leaders who are knowing what their gifts are and using their gifts for those kids to have a great week of camp. You see, God gives us these divine enablements that we might use them individually, one-on-one, helping others in the body of Christ. And congregationally, Ephesians 4 says that Jesus gives some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so it is through service, as you get plugged in and as I get plugged in and as we serve, then the body is edified as members are serving according to their giftedness and according to the will of God. But not only is there service mentioned, but secondly, I want you to see it is through our stewardship. Through our stewardship. Now, notice, if you will, verse 10 of our text, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Watch this. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right? Let's say that phrase together. As good stewards. Say it again, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, a steward is someone who takes care of the gifts, someone who takes care of the things of another, a manager of household affairs. God says, I'm going to give you some gifts. I'm going to give you the gift of serving, the gift of helping, the gift of giving. God says, I want you to serve me with these gifts, and I want you to be a good steward of these gifts. If you had the vaccine for a disease and kept it in your closet at home, you would not be a good steward of that vaccine. And God says, I have given you abilities to serve, but I want you, according to verse 10, to be good stewards of that grace, those gifts that I give you. God says, I'm going to put some things into your hands. I'm going to give you some time, some talent, some treasure. And God says, I want you to take this and I want you to use it. Now, friend, if I take the gifts of God, and if I sit on those gifts, and I'm not using them, I'm not a wise steward. If you have the ability to help a children's class or sing in the choir or help the missionary or teach or drive the bus, and God said, here, I've given you these desires and abilities, but you're sitting on them, then you are hindering the great things that God wants to do. God says, I don't want you to waste what I've given you. I want you to be a wise steward. And God has given you abilities that He intends to be used for the advancement of His kingdom. And I challenge you this morning as a church, don't waste your spiritual enablements. 1 Corinthians 4 is in your notes. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Friend, when you begin to discover your spiritual gifts, and we'll help you with that, and you begin to use those for the Lord, be faithful with those. Don't hide it under a bush. Don't put it away. But use your abilities given by God for the glory of God. Be a steward of it. I heard a story of a pig and a hen who were walking down the road. They saw a poster for the church fellowship. The church was going to have a potluck, a harvest supper, and it said, don't miss it. We're going to have eggs and ham at the potluck. It's going to be great. And the hen said to the pig, isn't that nice that we can help the pastor out with the potluck? And the pig replied to the hen. He said, well, it's nice for you because you're making a contribution, but I'm making a sacrifice. Now, somewhere between contribution and sacrifice is where every one of us ought to be living. Saying, Lord, you've been good to me. You've saved me. And Lord, you've given me the ability to talk to kids or the ability to make some money or the ability to organize some things or the ability to help widows in the nursing home. And God, I'm not going to stay at home with my remote control squandering the abilities that you've given to me. But God, I want to take my spiritual gifts and I want to be a part of the body of Christ, the local church. And I want to be a part of what you've called me to do. Not living for myself, but living for your kingdom and for your glory. God says, hey, I'm going to provide the raw material, but you've got to do something with it. I want you to be involved. The average church is like a football game. 50,000 screaming fans, badly in need of exercise, watching 22 players on the field, badly in need of rest. My friend, we believe at Lancaster Baptist Church that every member should be a minister. Everyone should get involved. The endowments of the Spirit, these are the gifts. The edification of the Spirit. When everyone gets plugged in with their gift, then the church is edified. But notice, finally, the exaltation of the Spirit. Now, why do we do all of these things through the spiritual gifts? Why do we get involved? It's because we want to exalt and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to our text, 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God, speaking of the Word of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability of God, which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, how can we exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice, first of all, we must minister in the power of Christ. We must minister in the power of Christ. Our theme this year, by His Spirit, power for life, power for ministry. Where does it come? It comes from God. Notice that in verse 11. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You see, it's Jesus Christ living through me. It's not by strength. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the ministry that must take place in this church must take place by the Spirit of God working with us and through us. And thus we labor with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. And we labor through the power of God. It is only by His strength that we can labor. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You say, Pastor, I can't go on. I can't teach a class. I can't work in the nursery. I can't do some of these things. I can show up when I can show up. No, I'm going to give you the Bible answer to your thought and your question. And the Bible answer is this. I can, not I can't. I can. God gave you an ability to serve, then you can use it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I was thinking this past week, as I often go back on memory row and memory lane during this time of year. Next 2 weeks from today, we celebrate our 24th year of ministry here. And I think back often to those first days and weeks and months. And I remember that second service as I stood to preach. That's a picture of me right there, the man in the middle with all the hair. And I think back to those early days and 12 and 15 and 20 people and 30 and 40 people. And I'm going to tell you honestly, for 16 months, just going out knocking on 500 doors a week and trying to get people to come and tell people about Jesus Christ, no staff, no salary, not even a coffee pot at the church. Nothing. Most of you, if you would have visited Lancaster Baptist Church in 1986, you would not have been impressed. You would have found a young preacher trying to learn how to preach. You would have seen the preacher's wife teaching the nursery through the sixth grade in Sunday school. You would have seen a few other groups renting the building where we were meeting. You would have heard the music. Sometimes we had a piano. Sometimes we had taped music. Sometimes we had no accompaniment. But it was always good because I was leading the singing. But you may not have been too impressed with it. The fact of the matter is that there wasn't a whole lot, humanly speaking, that was impressive. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There was something happening in our hearts. There was a young couple and a few families that began to join us who said, we'd like to figure out how we can serve. Well, I can paint, and well, I can tithe, and well, I can plant some plants, and I can fix a bus, and I can drive a bus. And one by one, people began to minister in the power of God, and God began to do something in this church. And as we minister in His power, the result is we magnify His name. And the Bible says in verse number 11 that Jesus Christ may be glorified. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. To Jude in verse 25, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Listen, when we minister in the power of God, we will magnify the name of God. And I think it's a wonderful thing when people can drive by and say, look at the Baptists, they're building another building, they're having another special day. I heard about people coming and their lives being changed, and an alcoholic whose life got changed. Listen, just at the camp out just yesterday, after the preaching time, there was one man who came up and laid down some cigarettes, and another man laid down some alcohol. God was changing lives. That was just Brother Furso and Brother Smith, by the way. There are a lot of other decisions too. But I'm telling you right now, even at the camp out just in the last few days, there were some lives being changed. Let me tell you what happens when that takes place. God gets glory. God gets the glory. On December 22nd, 1899, evangelist D.L. Moody was on his deathbed. As D.L. Moody lay there, he was sharing with a friend his testimony. D.L. Moody was a common man, saved by the uncommon grace of God. He was saved in the back room of his shoe store where he sold shoes, led to Christ by a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. Moody told how that after he was saved, he wanted to tell others, and so he began to invite boys to come that he might tell them about Jesus Christ and what he was learning from the Bible. And there were at first 18 raggedy little boys who came to his class. But after 2 years of loving people and going out on the streets and telling people about Jesus, 2 years later there were 1,500 boys in his Sunday school. 1,500 boys hearing about Jesus. From there, God began to bless Mr. Moody in America and Europe, and he established the schools there in Massachusetts and raised up the buildings in Chicagoland, and he established the girls' home and the boys' home, and he had the great Moody Church in Chicago, and literally millions and millions of people heard this man as he stood to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he lay on his deathbed, he told the story to his friend. And then he closed his story with these words placed in your notes this morning. If God be your partner, make your plans big. If God be your partner, make your plans big. The day that Jesus saved you is the day that God became your partner, my friend. And He gave you gifts and abilities, and He wants to give you dreams to do great things for Him. In a few weeks, we celebrate our 24th year and begin our 25th year of ministry. And we say, this is the Lord's doing, and great things He hath done. This auditorium was full in the first service and in the second service, and Sunday school classes all over the campus, and lives are being touched and changed. But I want to tell you something. There are greater works than these yet to be done. And in this room right now this morning are the resources, the gifts, and the abilities to do a greater work for God. If every one of us would say, Lord, what did you give me? How do you want to use me? How can I be involved? In your bulletin is something I want you to find, please, a blue card. A little different type of invitation this morning, if you would find the blue card. The blue card says spiritual gifts response card. How many of you have seen in the black and white scriptures of the Bible this morning that God has given you a gift? Raise your hand if you saw it this morning. How many of you understood this morning that God wants you to use that gift to glorify Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if you saw that this morning. Sure we did. The question is, will you? Here on the card, you can give your name, email, or phone number. You might even say, I'm interested in a particular place of service. You might say, I'd serve anywhere, I don't know exactly where. All I'm going to tell you, my friend, if the Holy Spirit is telling you, I gave you a gift and you don't even know what it is, much less you're not even using it for Christ, if it's time for you to start getting involved serving the Lord, would you fill that card out? And here's what I promise you. I promise you that by the end of this week, somebody from this church is going to call you, get in touch with you, and help you begin the most wonderful journey of life, and that's the journey of serving Jesus Christ. Discovering your gift and deploying into the ministry. Thousands of people over these 24 years have said, hey, I'll cut that tree down. I know how to work a chainsaw. I'd like to help. Others have said, hey, I want to learn how to counsel and pray and help bear a burden. I want to learn how to pass out a gospel tract. I'll give money so the missionary can go. I'll give money so we can have this building we're sitting in right now. Others have said, I'll be glad to teach the third grade, the fourth grade, the fifth grade. I want to help. I want to be a part. Listen, we're not here to sit on our blessed assurance today. Thank God for people who have said, I'll have my part. And this is what we see today. But what else does God want to do to touch Lancaster and California and the nation? What would happen if every saved person in America used their gifts to the glory of God? I know of some people in America that are busy with their causes. They're promoting their drugs. They're promoting their lifestyle. They're promoting their agenda. What about the cause of Jesus, my friend? May we say, Lord, here am I, use me. He has power to enable you to serve Him for the glory of God. By the way, if you're here this morning and you're saying, wow, Pastor Chappell's talking about power to enable me to serve, but I'm not even sure that I'm saved. I'm not even sure that I'm a Christian. I don't even know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know that I'd go to heaven someday. Look right here. He has power to save you too. He has power to wash away your sin and give you a home in heaven. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word, teaching a series entitled Power for Life. The way to tap in or to receive or to avail yourself of this power is to enter into a relationship, a personal faith relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've never made that decision, we would love to talk with you more about it. Or you can make that decision right now in the privacy of your own heart between you and God. Why don't you bow your head and pray and do what the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, you can bow your head, confess that you would like Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your personal Savior. It would be the greatest decision you could ever make, and you could make it right now. We would love to hear from you as a listener and know that Daily in the Word is touching your life. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to Pastor Chappell's newest resources, his blog posts, recent podcasts, and many other resources that will encourage you in your spiritual growth. We are quickly approaching the annual Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th at Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chapel and the staff at Lancaster Baptist and West Coast Baptist College invite you and those you serve with to several days of wonderful preaching, inspiring music, and a theme of renewal that will renew your heart and your love for the Lord and His work. Again, the Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th. You can find out more about it when you visit online at dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chapel and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.